Okay, new pot of tea, strong, and 5 more minutes until my next suspect. Let's think through events so far. A man murdered, 4 suspects, a potentially jealous but definitely nervy second bassoonist, could have a motive on grounds of professional jealousy. Next, a best friend, knew about the affairs and the job, and met the victim backstage, but as annoying as I find him personally, John seems to be sorry his friend has died. So, unless he's faking it, less likely to be a suspect. My next two suspects are a renowned yet slightly creepy conductor and a potentially disgruntled wife. Stereotype would suggest the wife, she potentially knew about the victim's affair, but if she's as lovely as everyone suggests, could she have done it? Plus, I've never been one for stereotype and convention. A possibility of a work suspect, given the high-profile nature of some of the companies he's exposed. Still no means or method, though. I sit up straight, need to work on not slouching, as Mr. James Morris saunters into the cafe. Pretentious enough for me to take an instant dislike to him.
It's the Ella Oleander Mysteries.
Mr. Morris flags down the barista. As they glide around behind the counter, making his strong coffee no milk, he turns and raises his hand high in the air to me, gesturing for me to wait a minute. As he makes his way to my table in the back corner of the Cafe Corona, he apologises for my wait and blames the barista. Strange considering that she made his coffee at the same speed as everyone else's, although he begs me to call him James. He may actually be more irritating than the victim's friend John. Hi James, thanks for joining me today. I have a few questions about the victim, your ex-first bassoonist, Mr. Harvey Jones. Are you okay with me recording our discussion for the purposes of the investigation?
Oh wow, investigation? How official.
How patronising. He smiles wide.
Of course I'm okay with it. Whatever you need to get to the bottom of the case.
Thank you. Investigation into the murder of Mr. Harvey Jones at the Royal Albert Hall on Wednesday 7th of October. Interviewee, Mr. James A. Morris, conductor of the Fantasy Symphony Orchestra. How well did you know the victim?
Now, let me think. He's been with the orchestra for 5 years, since summer 2015.
Okay, that's how long you knew him, but how well did you know him?
Well, we did have certain relations, but I just felt awful afterwards. His poor wife must have been livid when she found out.
When did he tell her? According to the other interviewees, he didn't. So who's lying?
Well, I can't say for sure, of course. I presume he did. He was a stand-up man.
Of course. And how well did you know his wife?
Oh, not well at all. I met her at a couple of Christmas parties. Saw her around backstage before and after concerts.
Yes, I heard people have access to the backstage area.
Yes. We let a few people backstage when they want. They have to sign in with security, but up to a certain amount can have access.
And what exactly do they get access to? This is like pulling teeth.
Oh, everywhere. The whole of the backstage area. Changing rooms are more private, but knock on the door and you might be let in.
Sounds like a terrible sales pitch. Okay, what was the victim's marriage like? Were they happy? Did they argue?
Well, I couldn't say myself. I've heard she's lovely, but he can't have been happy if he was having an affair.
Do you know if he considered a divorce?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you. We talked, but usually about the orchestra, or to arrange a time and a place, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I know what you mean. I've heard he was a journalist. Do you know anything about that, or any other jobs he may have had?
He was a journalist, yes. No other jobs than that. But he profiled some big companies, always walking the line with it. Dangerous job, that. Made many enemies. Don't know about death threats, but rather exciting, isn't it? Like in films.
I wouldn't call murder exciting. And death threats is a new one.
Well, of course, I meant the job. Not the murder, of course.
Of course. Thinking about enemies, did he have any in the orchestra?
Well, he didn't talk to many other members, The second bassoonist, she was not happy when we appointed him first chair. Had a problem with him ever since, always criticizing his playing. She actually came to yell at me about it, asked how I could appoint him first chair, told me that any of the other three of them would have made a better player than him.
If he was supposedly that bad, why give him first chair?
Oh, he wasn't that bad, really. She was just upset because she's been in the orchestra longer and felt it was her turn, or some other such nonsense. Honestly, I still struggle to comprehend the attitude on her.
She was angry then?
Angry? She was livid. I almost feared for my life.
He hasn't stopped gesturing wildly and fidgeting through the whole conversation. I should wrap it up before he actually hits the woman on the next table. She's been scowling at him for a while. Well, thank you, James, for answering my questions. I'll be in touch soon.
Of course. Glad to be of assistance. Do let me know if you manage to figure anything out.
And with that, he leaves. Well, that was painful. Turns out the victim's other woman was, in fact, a man. I need to be less presumptuous. If he is the one that the victim had an affair with, maybe a scorned lover motive? Bit obvious, though. And what about the means? He was on stage as well when Mr. Jones died. How could he have committed the act? Then again, I still don't know what actually killed the victim. I wonder if I can charm my way into the autopsy report and ask for some testing to be done. Anyway, still no outstanding method. Mr. Morris did heavily imply the wife or second bassoonist, Nancy, could have done it. Seems like both were very unhappy with the victim. Maybe to the point of killing? It'll be interesting to talk to the victim's wife next. Another pot of tea on the table and one last interview. Finally, I'll meet the late Mr. Harvey Jones's wife. Or widow, now, I suppose. I begin to collect my thoughts and look back over my notes when a hand pops in front of my face.
Miss Oleander? I'm Anna. Anna Jones? John said you're investigating the death of my late husband, Harvey.
I shake her hand as she sits, sliding herself gently into the seat opposite me. Hi. Please, call me Ella. How would you like me to address you?
Oh, Anna is fine. Thank you.
Of course. Do you mind if I record this meeting for the purposes of the investigation?
No, I mean, that's okay.
She smiles slightly and nods as I turn on the recording machine and say... Investigation into the murder of Mr. Harvey Jones at the Royal Albert Hall on Wednesday 7th of October. Interviewee, Miss Anna Jones, widow of the victim. Anna, how long have you known Harvey?
About 8 years. We've been married for 3.
Were you both happy in the relationship? She begins fidgeting, tapping her fingers on the table.
Well, to begin with, we were. It began to go downhill before he proposed. But I thought that was normal and marriage seemed like the next logical step, so I said yes. It was exciting leading up to the wedding and everything seemed more positive for a while. But a couple years ago, the old sign started again. The daydream wore off. I thought that was normal too, so I accepted it, continued with my life. We began to speak less, both stay out later with friends. About a year ago, he changed. Started giving me flowers some days, hardly looking at me others. I was suspicious. Then a friend said she'd seen him go into someone's house. He started taking more calls and hiding his phone when it rang. He said the orchestra were having extra rehearsals, but I'm friends with the second bassoonist, Nancy Hall. She told me she hadn't heard anything about extra rehearsals. I asked the conductor, James, at one of the Christmas parties. He told me him and Harvey had met up a couple of times to go over sections. That eased me for a bit, but Harvey was still acting strange. I got sick of it. I asked him if he was cheating. He said no. I told him we weren't happy and we deserved better. He said we were fine. The relationship was fine. Nothing needed to change. We argued. He left the house for a few days. No one knew where he had gone.
That sounds awful. She's nodding, but it seems sad. Regretful.
It was. Nancy came to stay with me while he was away. When he came home, he said we were fine. We weren't having a divorce and did not bring it up again. I was upset. I stayed out more. We talked even less than before. He hid his phone less. I saw a few different names call him. Mandy, James. He messaged them more and was less careful about hiding his phone, even when he was sent sensitive pictures. I think he wanted to upset me. He wanted me to see it, to hurt me.
I'm so sorry. I hope you know, you deserve better than that.
Thank you. I do. I met someone. They explained to me that I could be happy, what a relationship could be like. Nothing happened while I was married. I thought of them as a good friend, but I think I might try going on a date with them. I know it seems soon, only a few days since his death, but for me it's been a year since the end of my relationship. I'm not ready yet, but soon I might be.
I wish you all the best. About the orchestra, a couple of people said they saw you around the backstage area a lot, before and during concerts. Could you please tell me what you were doing?
Oh, I've been visiting Nancy. She's been unhappy since Harvey was given first chair. I've been supporting her.
Not visiting Mr. Jones?
No, I used to. But with everything that's been going on, we were both unhappy with him, so supported each other.
Okay. Did he enjoy the orchestra? Have many friends?
He didn't have many friends. But he cared about the orchestra more than his job. More than me. More than his affairs.
You said one name that called him was James. Do you know if that's the conductor?
Yes. I heard his voice on the phone, but presumed I'd heard wrong. Then I saw pictures of Mr. Morris as Harvey was scrolling through a few on his phone. He had a few phone calls with Mr. Morris. Harvey sounded aggressive, vindictive. A week later, he had the first chair.
What are you saying? Because it sounds like blackmail.
I think Harvey blackmailed the conductor into giving him the first chair.
Oh, it is blackmail then. Great. Given that, and his other apparent affairs, did any of them catch up to him? Did anyone seem upset enough with him to hurt him?
Nobody came round to the house when I was there. It isn't outside the realm of possibility, I suppose, but no one accused him of saying anything in front of me.
What about his job? Apparently he made many enemies from that. Received threats?
Oh, he over-exaggerated that all the time. Yes, companies were angry with him, but I never saw anything about a threat to his life.
In other interviews, people seemed to think a vengeful company could have murdered him.
I suppose it's a possibility. We weren't exactly the most open to each other about our lives. Maybe I missed something.
That's okay. Final question. Did he have any history of illnesses? Heart disease, lung problems?
No, none. He was fairly healthy.
All right. Well, thank you very much for answering all of my questions.
That's okay. Have you figured anything out yet?
I have a few ideas. I'll let you know when I know more. She thanks me and leaves, twisting her ring around her finger until she sees, oh, Nancy, at the window. They walk up to each other and hug, holding hands as they walk away. Interesting. If Anna and Nancy were starting to have feelings for each other, and the victim refused a divorce, that could be a motive. They did have backstage access, but could they have done it? And Anna did say nothing happened between them before the victim's death. And what about the blackmail of the conductor? I need to test that reed cup I took. Tad illegal, though. I'll test it, hopefully learn something, discover the identity of the killer, hand the criminal in, then tell the police and hope they let me off with another warning. I'll head back to my hotel room for now, think it all over, consider where to go next.